We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
About the morning here in Pittsburgh, it's understandable that Ron is still in Kansas City. He covered the game. But Bob, you couldn't make it in. I'll tell you what happened to me today. I walked, or at least I started walking from my house. My street wasn't plowed. Larry Richard said this was the worst day he's had in 21, 31 years of doing KDK coming in the morning. So I started to walk, Bob. And then I stopped in at Ace Hardware. I don't know, a half a mile up the road here in Greentree. And a very nice man named, and I can't remember his name now, said he would give me a ride. I went in there, and I know some of the people in there, so I'm like, this is ridiculous, but I'll get there. And then a guy was at the counter purchasing something, and he said, we're doing a bunch of plowing at Foster Plaza. Where are you headed? I said, Foster Plaza. So, Bob, what's your excuse? Why aren't you in the studio with me?
Joe, like you, I tried this morning. I decided to walk, too. So I'm halfway there. I couldn't make it. I ran out of gas. I stopped in somebody's house I don't know, and I'm talking to you from their basement.
Ronnie didn't even try.
Yeah, I know. How are you guys doing, and what shot do I have of getting home this afternoon?
None. Probably.
Maybe pretty good, Ron. A better shot than it turned out the Steelers had in the end, right?
Yeah, it sure did. Hey, let me tell you a quick story about our trip here, though. Did you happen to hear what happened to us, Joe?
I didn't. What happened to you?
Well,
I think Ray Fittipaldo may have hinted toward it on Twitter.
No, he didn't hint it. He said it. We fly from Pittsburgh to Chicago Saturday. No problem. Actually, I had a seat empty next to me. I'm in like heaven when I have an empty seat next to me. So now we're in Chicago to go to Kansas City. Absolutely packed flight. We're just getting ready to push back to go to Kansas City. And the co-pilot comes on and says, well, we have a little bit of a hiccup. They're taking your captain off of this flight and putting him on another flight. And you see the cockpit door open. And the captain leaves and walks out. And the co-pilot says, the problem is we don't know when we're going to get another pilot here. I've heard of crews not showing up. I've never heard of a pilot being pulled off a flight. We're thinking that could be 3 hours, 4 hours. It turned out to be 45 minutes. But it was still harrowing. You're sitting on the plane like cattle, and you don't have a pilot.
Never good when they call in the backup. Is it, Ron?
Oh, so I'm sitting next to Ray Fittipaldo, Joe, and that's exactly – I lean over and go, Ray, this guy's a rookie. He's never flown a plane this big before. He started laughing, but he was crying, I think.
You know what they say? If you have two pilots, you have none, Ron. I would have been off that plane so fast.
But we made it, and now I got to make it home after the show this afternoon. Please let me get home. I came all this way to watch that disaster last night. And now I want to just get home.
Well, gentlemen, well, we hope you do, Ron, by the way. And I'm sure you will. If you don't, like we said last week, get a bunch of beer and barbecue, sit back, relax, and enjoy your night in the hotel. We got one more playoff game to go. Hopefully it'll be more competitive than this one. And that's where we start, is the same place I started every single week with you guys. What's your headline? What's your main takeaway from that debacle? Ron?
Well, mine's, you ask every week, and I have the same response every week, Joe, even after wins. They're just not very good. They're mediocre at best, and they're not very good. They're not close to being good with the elite teams in the NFL. You know, this was sort of an indictment of having this an extra wild card with the seventh seed, because Philly got blown out by Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh got blown out by Kansas City. They didn't belong in this tournament. They're not very good offensively. They're not very good defensively. They weren't very good coached up. There's just nothing to like about this team unless you like mediocre football, Bob.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. It never changed. It was the same thing time after time, and I really thought going into this game that something would change. I'll tell you this, the defense did what it had to do for the first quarter and a half, but at times you cannot continue to go three and out as they've done over and over in every first half for the seven of the last eight games. No points. You make it impossible on your defense, which is not without its challenges, but at least, you know, they provided points. They gave you a shot. Kansas City was a little off their game to the point they tried a stupid wildcat play, which probably they should never have done, and it worked right to their advantage, the Steelers. But that offense is just pathetic. It's predictable, it's pathetic, and it needs to be revamped.
Yeah, mine is it's time for change. And I'm not talking about Mike Tomlin, not yet, but certainly both coordinators, some philosophy change. The quarterback's going to have to change naturally. There's no decision there, at least as far as is there a change needed? Yeah, the decision will be who to bring in. But this was a disaster. You know, in some ways, not unexpected, right, that they would lose handily to the Chiefs. But they looked like a disorganized mess on offense. And as the game wore on, a disorganized mess on defense. Did you see how many open receivers? All the miscommunications, it would appear, on both sides of the ball. It looked like a horribly coached team. The talent level is one thing. You lose. I get it. Maybe you lose by 10. Maybe you lose by 20. I don't know. But that way, to me, there's no excuse to lose that way despite the talent level. And that leads to the second question. Was it a good season, Ron?
You know what? Losing like that, I can't say it was a good season. I mean, I'm glad they made the playoffs. That gave us... You know, the last couple weeks were pretty exciting. Ben's farewell at home, somehow winning at Baltimore. You know, then the drama at the end of the Chargers and Raiders game. I'm glad they make the playoffs. I mean, when you make the playoffs, you're one of, 14 teams out of 32. You had a decent season, but I can't say it was a good season, Bob, by any stretch. Not when you get blown out like that so many times, and not when your offense – You know, it's just unbelievable how they can't score in the first half of games.
Yeah, most of the yardage and most of the damage offensively took place later in the game when almost it seemed like the other teams are just saying, okay, we have this in the bag and we're not going to do what we did early in the game. So those numbers are extremely deceiving. Yes, and I look at it, you can say playoffs, but looking back, if they had made that a really good game, and if I saw growth, and if you said, you know, they took Kansas City down to the wire, I may have said, you know, at least they're rebuilding, and they still somehow made a playoff berth, which is hard to fathom. But now this has become too predictable, and it's the same. They have to make major changes to scheme and to personnel, I think, at certain areas. And unless they do that, they're going to be looking at the same sort of result next year.
Joe, let me say something real quick here. Your column today was excellent. I'm watching Mahomes last night. He's just absolutely incredible. I think this kid has a chance to be one of the all-time best. And then I watched Josh Allen take apart New England, and he has a chance to be one of the best. How about Joe Burrow in Cincinnati? One of the best. The Steelers can't compete with that. There's no way they can compete with that. But I will say this about Mahomes. He's about as good as anyone I have ever seen. What he does on the field is just magical. But, you know, you throw in a Justin Herbert. I mean, Lamar Jackson's a former MVP, and I wouldn't say he's better than fifth or sixth quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's how good these young guys are. And as Joe, as you pointed out, Mason Rudolph ain't going to be that guy. And I don't know who they're going to get to be that guy. But until they get somebody that is better than Ben is now, and maybe an offensive coordinator that's better than Canada, they got no shot. They just don't, Joe.
And maybe a couple of new offensive linemen and receivers who show up for games. But back to, was it a good season? No, it was a fun season. You know, I heard people last night in the middle of the debacle. I can't remember whether It was when Tyreek Hill was waving pom-poms or Travis Kelce was throwing for a touchdown or 73 was catching a touchdown. I mean, it was again, yet another sort of nationally televised humiliation of the Steelers. People saying, man, are you glad they won? Are you glad that the Chargers lost that game now? Are you glad the Steelers snuck in? I would say yes. It was a fun season. It wasn't a good season. I mean, this didn't undo the fact that those final 2 weeks were awesome with Ben's send-off. He got the home send-off he deserved. That was a great night. He beat the Browns. Then he beat the Ravens, which led into Raiders-Chargers. And one of the most memorable nights I would imagine Steelers fans have ever had. I don't think what happened yesterday undid that, but it also doesn't erase the truth that, as Ron said, they're not very good. As I would say that this wasn't a good season. This didn't prove they're on the right track. Are you kidding me? I don't want to say they got in the playoffs under false pretenses, but they got there under revamped pretense. They got there with a third wild card. They snuck in by miracle. They were minus 76 in point differential. I think it was Tomlin's worst team of his whole career, Ron.
I have a hard time arguing with that. I mean, defensively, they just had no answers. I'll give them credit. You know, I think Kansas City just came out and, you know, didn't get off to a good start. Obviously, you know, the scoop and score by Watt, you know, I think that pissed off Mahomes. What are they running a wildcat for when you got the best quarterback in the world?
Yes.
Now, I know later, you know, Kelce threw a touchdown pass, but it seemed like it woke up Mahomes. And once you kick that bear, man, you better run for cover because he's gonna bite you. He threw for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they made it just look easy. So no, it was an embarrassment way the season ended. We can rip Canada all we want and deservedly so. We can rip Ben and deservedly so. I thought the wide receivers absolutely stunk last night, and Tomlin, he bit off his words. He all but said it. That they stunk last night.
All stunk except one guy. Who was it?
Ballage, of course.
James Washington.
I thought you were going to say Ballage.
I predicted Washington to score a touchdown. Do you remember?
I do not remember that.
Horse, can you confirm that? I said James Washington will score a touchdown in this game. Yes? James Washington. Plays of 30-plus yards, 0.5.
I thought you were talking about.
Joe said it would.
I thought you were talking about Ballage. He got in the game and got carries.
I know. I picked the over of 0.5 carries. Should Tomlin have benched Deontay at any point in that game?
I don't know what happened to that guy. You know, 3 weeks ago, you know, it was almost like when he didn't get picked to the Pro Bowl, despite having better stats than most of the receivers who were picked, it seemed like he pouted and totally lost his focus. He was running the wrong routes. He had a false start penalty. How many drops did he have? I don't know who you're going to put in if you take him out.
James Washington.
I don't know that he's the answer either. But what a disappointing finish for Deontay, Bob.
Yeah, maybe he needs more tennis balls thrown at him. I don't know. But all of a sudden, that concentration went away, and he started dropping critical third down and short. You know, and if you're an offense like that, you have to be able to move the ball a little bit to give your defense, for no other reason, a rest. And the defense has its challenges, there's no question. But I think it was hung out to dry by the offense, and that's been a repeated theme as well. So, the bottom line is they need a lot of change, and it's hard to imagine they can do it in 1 year. The draft is not designed to do that, especially when you're picking 20th. It's very difficult to maneuver around to get somebody you might want higher than 20. And if so, how much draft equity are you willing to part with since they got seemingly burned with Devin Bush and moving up to number 10? And the returns on that have not been good, which leads to another decision they're going to have to make. What do they do with him in terms of a fifth-year option?
Well, we'll get into all of that for sure. I mean, Deontay Johnson, what happened to this guy? It started, he hasn't had a 100-yard game since December 5th, the Baltimore home game. He had 2 touchdowns in that game. And then you're right, Ron, he didn't get named to the Pro Bowl. And then he started dropping balls again. He had the fumble in one game. Which game was? No, that was before that. That was Detroit.
That was the Kansas City game.
And the Kansas City game. And the he had the big fumble in Detroit against Detroit too, in overtime.
Remember,
he got the big pass, caught it, ran down the field, and fumbled.
I remember him fumbling in Kansas City without being hit.
That too. And a bunch of drops, and yes, running the wrong route. I mean, this is a guy who came out last week and said, when we win, you'll recall. And then Claypool, I don't know if it's just Ben not going to him or nothing happening when he does. It was, and then Freiermuth was even on the wrong page with Ben. It just looked like such a disorganized mess. And what a crime for the offense not to give any help to the defense yet again. And the defense under Tomlin and Butler has now become the only defense in the history of professional football, at least the NFL version, to give up 40-plus points in three straight playoff games. And the one before that, New England scored 36 and could have scored 50 if they want. But they've set a record here. I mean, that is embarrassing for a franchise whose calling card is defense, Bob.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think last night, if the offense had put together one drive at least to top that 7-0 lead to make it 14-0, you know, who knows what happens then. You put them in a hole, probably still the same outcome, but at least give them a chance. They were on the field far too much, but this defense is getting burned the same way. You look back and watch the tape of the game from Jacksonville, and it's
yes.
The same sort of problems. You know, in the middle of the field, there are guys wide open a lot, and it doesn't seem to change. And last night, Kelce got off to kind of a slow start, and then all of a sudden, he's running wild in there. And no matter what you do up front, Mahomes' mobility will give him a chance to look the field and throw to those openings. And, Ron, it was glaringly obvious that they couldn't cover anyone again in the middle of the field.
No, they couldn't. And you know, I'm not the biggest stats guy in the world, but this one I noticed it just took my breath away almost. The Chiefs scored on five possessions in a row after the Steelers went up 7-0. At 35-7, midway through the third quarter, at that point, Mahomes was 25 of 34 for 337 yards and five touchdowns. Ben was 6 of 15 for 23 yards. Those numbers, I can't even make them up. You can't make those numbers up, can you?
No, and you can't make up this one either. In three games against the Steelers, Mahomes is 76 for 97. I could stop there and we could ponder it all day and not be able to comprehend it. It's like infinity. 76 for 97 for 992 yards, 14 touchdowns, and one interception. If anybody out there, and I know there are some stats freaks out there, can find a three-game stretch, any quarterback against any team, three starts in a row that are more impressive than that, I would love to see it. Unless, of course, it's Brady in Foxborough against the Steelers. I went back and looked, and at one point, after they blew out the Steelers in the AFC title game, Brady against Tomlin Butler defenses, or I should say just Tomlin defenses, because he was the common denominator there. 22 touchdowns and no picks. So if you took those two numbers, Ron, you'd have 36 touchdowns and one pick between Mahomes and Brady.
And
36
you know what?
And one. Listen, they're great against everybody, but they're not that great against everybody. I mean, it's incredible.
The other numbers that really shook me, you know, the Steelers have lost their last four playoff games, given up 43 points a game, 0.25 points a game, 43.25 in those four games, and have been outscored by an average of two touchdowns in all four of the games. They're scoring 29-5, and we know a lot of those points came in garbage time. I don't know how a defense in a playoff game can give up an average of 43 points a game.
No, that's absolutely true. And those, I think that's a record that Mahomes set. You talked about the five touchdown passes. They came in the shortest amount of time that any team or any player has ever produced them, I think, in NFL history. I was looking at that this morning, and there's no way to verify. I mean, it's hard to go back. But I think that's the quickest five touchdown passes.
It is in NFL history. Yep.
NFL history.
Playoff
that's
history.
That's
playoff
pretty embarrassing.
History.
Playoff yep. history. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
I mean, every week we're talking about numbers like this. The run defense, not scoring in the first half. It's unbelievable. It really is. Every week we're talking about the Steelers making history and not in a good way. And the offense has had its share of blame, or should, I should say, have its share of blame in these playoff games. And every one of them, they're helping to bury the team early in the game. Every single one, Jacksonville, Cleveland, and this one yesterday. But that leaves us in an interesting spot here, because a lot of people will tell you and remind us, hey, a lot of teams have it worse in the NFL. A lot of teams would like to be talking about their playoff problems. Of course, the Steelers have missed multiple times in recent years, too. So are we to be satisfied? Are you to be satisfied as a Steeler fan? Are they doing just enough to prevent Art Rooney and the apologists out there from making major change? Because they're hovering around 500. They're getting to the playoffs. At least you're not the Lions. Is that good enough, Ron?
No, it isn't good enough. But, I mean, again, there is something to be said to be competitive to the end of every season. You know, we haven't had any of those 2-14, 15 seasons, and now maybe you need one to get a quarterback. But I think there are going to be major changes this year. I've already written my piece for tomorrow. Ben's gone. The list of free agents that they could lose is really long. We don't know if Tua is going to come back. They got to find a new line coach. Canada could be fired. Butler could retire. Kevin Colbert could retire. I can't ever remember an offseason of change like the one we're going to have this year. And, you know, and change sometimes scares people. Sometimes it isn't any good. Sometimes it performs wonders. But, I mean, I'm certainly willing to try a lot of change now, Bob.
Bob, let me jump in and I'll throw it right to you. Ron, when you say, and I know what you mean, you know, they're competitive to the end of every season, but that also depends on how you define the word competitive, because we just spent 20 minutes talking about how they're not competitive at the end of every season. In fact, they're very non-competitive when it gets to the biggest game of the season, should they get there. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely get what you mean. We also said that, you know, we were glad they made the playoffs this year, that those last 2 weeks were a lot of fun, and I feel that can be true, too. What they're doing right now isn't good enough. No playoff win since in 5 years, and getting blown out in the last four, it isn't good enough. They got to make some changes. You see all these other teams that have it theoretically worse making change, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And it's also, you know, cyclical nature of sports, too. Everything is designed so that, you know, you have more of a parity outlook. And that means you're going to have some bad years thrown in there. And they've tried to, you know, cosmetically get by those years and, you know, perhaps deserve credit for that, for trying. But what it's doing is it's making everything remain the same and not making a step forward. So, you know, you mentioned the list, Ron. It is a lengthy list. I looked at it. They're going to have to make so many decisions. They have money to spend. You can see a massive overhaul of this roster here as well. You're talking about coaches. What about players? A whole bunch of players may be gone, and there are going to be a whole bunch of new players coming in. So it's going to be a fascinating offseason from that point of view, Ron and Joe.
Well, we can talk about all of that coming up. It's so interesting. Ron and I talked about this last week, this very topic. It is absolutely admirable that Tomlin has not had a losing season. That's admirable. But it's also built on the irony that the losing season they had before he got here is the number one reason he hasn't had a losing season, because it allowed them to draft Ben. Mm-hmm. And there's also the idea, depending on how you look at things, that they're in the worst possible place a professional sports franchise could be, cycling around 500 most of the time, and in mediocrity. You know, this is not where you want to be. So I think there's two ways to look at that, never having had a losing season. Ron, I'll give you a crack at that when we come back, and we'll get into more about the actual game and the future, and you can certainly weigh in today. 412-928-9370. Did the Steelers have what you would call a good season?
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Season. Back to the Cook and Joe Show, presented by JP Roofing and Siding.
Let's go to Steven, who's on the line. I just read that another unbelievable statistic, or quite believable if you've been watching these games. Elias Sports Bureau saying the 135 points the Steelers have given up in their past three playoff games, the most by any team in a three-game playoff stretch in the history of the league. Steven, go ahead.
Well, what you just said is indictment of the Steelers. I mean, they always go, they never go all in. Like when they had that fantastic offense with Le'Veon and AB, and the offensive line was in its prime, that's when you trade number one, number two picks to get some defensive backs, where they could have maybe beaten New England a couple of times and won a couple of Super Bowls. But
well, the only fair thing to mention there, and it really does have to be mentioned, Steven, is that one year they went into Denver without Le'Veon or AB with a pretty good team.
Right.
Another year Le'Veon was hurt and missed a playoff loss to Baltimore. And another year Le'Veon got hurt at the beginning of the AFC title game against New England. So how many years did they actually have Le'Veon and AB together in the playoffs? But I hear what you're saying. They did have them, and you wanted them to go more all in on defense.
Right, right. That's when you do it, because if always picking 20 to 24, I mean, sometimes, you know, you got TJ late and stuff, but a lot of times you're just going to get an average, a little above average player. You're not going to get the – I'd rather win a Super Bowl and have a few down years and just be what they are now.
How about you, Ron? Thanks for the call.
Well, did I see they're going to pick 20th this year in the draft, right?
Yes.
I think 20, and if they'd have not made the playoffs, it would have been 18. So I'd rather make the playoffs and pick 20 than not make it and pick 18. You know, Joe, the points you make about those guys not playing, and Le'Veon basically quit on them. AB ended up quitting on them. They just haven't done enough with what they've had, as far as I'm concerned. But now I'm wondering if these might not be the golden years for a while, because it's going to take a while to rebuild this.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me in a way of Dan Marino, his presence in Miami, and how they never really, despite all the great numbers he put up and the offense they had, they never did cash in on his presence there. And over the past how many years with Ben Roethlisberger as the quarterback here, I mean, they've 3-8 in their last 11 posts. Now, he's contributed to that with some interceptions, but the point is they could have made a bigger push with him at quarterback in these kinds of situations. But here's the, you know, the pitfall. Everybody's talking, we got a lot of calls last night about this. Well, the Steelers, not, you know, they should have just not made the playoffs. But you're right, Ron, it doesn't change much, 18-20. The key is, even if you draft in the top 10 and they moved up to get Devin Bush, you better hit on that pick, and they didn't do it. The last times they've been in the top 10 or thereabouts, they've got some pretty good players and players who've been around for a long time. The expectation was Bush was going to be that. And so it doesn't matter if you mess up the pick.
Well, I agree. Obviously, from 20 to 18 wouldn't be a big jump unless the Eagles or Saints at 18 and 19 take Kenny Pickett. Then I think people will be like, that was a pretty big jump.
Shouldn't he be long gone before that? I mean, there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
I know. Do people think? I'm not sure that there's a surefire star quarterback in the first round. Feels to me like a year, Bob, where teams are going to reach in the first round. I like Kenny Pickett. I wouldn't call him a surefire star. I'd be excited if I were a fan and the Steelers drafted him. I'm just a little leery of this first round. I'm not sure he won't be available at 20 or 18 or 19.
Well, he might be, but you're right about the fact that it's no guarantee, especially with the pressure of playing here. If he gets selected here, you know, everyone will have the expectations, you know, like they did in his final year at Pitt, Ron. And I don't know if that's realistic either. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks highly thought of, taken in the top five of the draft, and not pan out. There are going to be other guys like that, lesser lights, and I'll use that term to describe people like Mitch Trubisky and others who may be available, not named, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Derek Carr.
Well, I've seen a lot of people speculate that maybe it'd be better for Pickett not to end up here, and I can't argue with that. It was great that Dan Marino got out of town when he did, and it wouldn't surprise me if it'd be good for Pickett to get out of town too, Joe, without coming here.
I would argue vehemently with that, Ron. If the kid's going to be a great quarterback, he's going to be a great quarterback anywhere, I think. I mean, Joe Burrow grew up, what, 2 hours from – he was a Bengal guy growing up. I think if you're great, you're going to prove that anywhere.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know that Pickett is as good as Joe Burrow is. I mean, I don't think he's going to be the number one overall pick. I'm just wondering if it isn't good for him to get out of town, and I've heard people speculate the Saints maybe, I mean, to go with Sean Payton. We don't even know who the offensive coordinator is going to be here next year. We don't know what the offensive line is going to be. I wasn't just talking about the pressure of playing here. This isn't a very good team right now.
Would you pick him if you were the Steelers at 20?
I don't know. It depends who my other options are, I guess. I'm with you. I'm not 100% convinced he's going to be a star. I like to think so, but I got to see who else is available, Bob.
I would probably do it because I've seen enough in his maturation and progress, although it's taken the better part of 5 years to get there. That's the difference between me, him and Joe Burrow. Burrow, he was highly thought of coming out of high school, too, and had to transfer to end up where he was. And, you know, it's about opportunities, but he snared his really quickly. I think Pickett has the mobility, the arm strength, I think the savvy to be very good. But, again, all of that will be compromised if they don't shore up other areas. You can bring in the best quarterback here, but if he doesn't have an offensive line that's going to be appreciably better, I don't know that it matters.
Well, it probably won't. I mean, the hope there is that a couple guys will get better. You have money, you can bring in a guy, and you can draft somebody. I mean, offensive lines can be rebuilt. Kansas City did it in 1 year. Why can't the Steelers? But I'm not comparing Pickett to Joe Burrow talent-wise. I'm comparing them on the basis of, can a guy play in his basic hometown, or is that a bad idea, or will there be too much pressure? I just feel like if there would be too much pressure and that would cause him to fail, then he wasn't going to succeed anywhere anyway, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it doesn't matter where. It matters if he's capable of handling all that comes with this, but it's not easy. Again, I think people come to the conclusion, oh, well, there it is. You just take him and your problems are solved. A lot of people have had those descriptions of quarterbacks that were taken in the top five who've never come near what they expected. So, Ron, it's a complicated situation, but I think, you know, if they don't have the quarterback there available that they really like, They got to just look and try to address all the things on their list, and you can't do it in one off season. I think that's the conclusion I have more than anything. This is going to take more than one off season.
Well, I think so too. And again, people don't think Aaron Rodgers or Wilson. I just don't see that happening, and I don't think I'd endorse it. I'm not giving up three number one draft choices to get one of those guys because, yeah, it'd be great to have the quarterback, but you got to have some help around him. And I don't think they're going to even think of that anyway. I think there's a much more realistic chance of Pickett. I think he could be available with 20.
Well, that depends on, the Rodgers, Wilson. Should they bring in a veteran? Well, those would probably be the only two proven stars. What about somebody like a Derek Carr in a trade? I would be up for that.
Me too.
I like Derek Carr, and I don't think it would take nearly as much to get him. You're not going to have to give up three number ones for him. I would take him. I like him a lot.
We'll get to Greg, Eric, and Ted coming up here. I also have yet another number from the game yesterday that was just mind-blowing. We'll talk about that coming up on Cook and Joe.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
And Bob? Bob, I wanted to follow up on something you said. You agreed with a caller when he said they didn't do enough around Ben in his later years. I take umbrage with that. First of all, Ben took up a gigantic part of the Steelers' salary cap, which prevented them in some ways from doing a lot around him. Secondly, he was 3-7 in his last 10 playoff games. And thirdly, even though some of the numbers are fancy, he did a lot to put them into big early holes, whether it was Jacksonville, Pickett his own 18, 50-yard strip, sack, fumble, touchdown. They go down 28-7. Last year, an early pick in his own territory against the Browns. This year, we all saw what happened yesterday. I don't think he should be absolved. I don't think there should be qualifiers around. Ben just wasn't the same playoff quarterback late in his career. I mean, he had a lot of weapons in that Jacksonville game and some fancy numbers by the end of it, but he also did a lot to help them lose that game.
No, I never said that I was absolving. What I was saying is, and I meant maybe defensive moves, maybe schematics, maybe play calling, maybe a lot of things. There were a lot of things involved. I'm just saying when you have somebody who's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, I would expect better opportunities in the last 11 years than what they've had. So, yeah, he's contributed to it, but I think overall, you mentioned the defensive points allowed and some of the breakdowns there. Plus, their run game, which has really struggled for the last 4 years, Ron, has never really taken off in the direction I think they expected it to do. So, you know, it's tough because you got a lot of decisions to make. There's an ever-changing world in free agency. There's injuries. There's a lot of factors to it. I just would have expected more success since 2011 in the postseason than what they got.
Well, it's fair to expect that, and I agree with Joe. I mean, Ben certainly isn't blame-free in all of this. I don't know if I would say he's been their biggest problem, but, you know, now there's no more debate. You know, last year at this point, well, is he coming back? Should he come back? Now he's not. They're going to have to address that position for the first time in 18 years, and change is going to have to happen because of that, and we'll see what they do with it. If this is Kevin Colbert's last hurrah, let's see what he can do with it, Joe.
Yeah, I guess the only good news for the incoming quarterback is there hasn't been much of a recent postseason legacy to live up to anyway, right? I mean, they haven't. The current quarterback hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years and hasn't really had a great playoff game in about a decade, so there's really no recent playoff legacy here at that position. There is overall, for sure, but not recently, Bob.
No, that's absolutely true. So the pressure should be lessened from that regard. You watch this offense operate, Joe and Ron. And for example, last night I was watching Kansas City and I termed it vibrant screen game. I've watched them, you know, like a lot of people have over the last couple of years. They do things formation-wise and schematically on schemes that you know are going to result in big plays, and I've never really seen that sort of stuff with the Steelers. I don't know what I see.
Bob,
what
they're
I
working is, with Patrick Mahomes. That opens up that opens up 8 million pages of
Garoppolo.
The playbook.
Watch Garoppolo. Watch any quarterback that has, when they have a different kind of schematic approach. When was the last like well-executed screen you saw the Steelers make? It's always like it's more of a dump-off. It's not necessarily a formation screen. You know what I mean? That's just nitpicking maybe. But, Ron, I mean, it's very predictable what they've done in the first half of games. And it's changed in the second half for a lot of different reasons. But that's, to me, how I judge how they go about their offensive scheme. And they have all week to prepare for these things, and this is what you get.
Well, I think I agree with Joe on this one. I mean, you got Mahomes. You could do anything you want. I mean, this guy's so generational as a player. You know, it's kind of unfair to compare their offense to the Steelers. Now, maybe back in Ben's prime, he could do a lot of the things that Mahomes did, but I'm not sure he was as good even then as Mahomes is now. So, I think I could be the offensive coordinator when I got a quarterback like that, Joe.
And give him credit. They went out and completely rebuilt their offensive line. They had a little money. They made some smart moves. They drafted a kid who might be the best center in the NFL. And I know we've gone back and forth on the Freiermuth pick. Listen, the Steelers made a pretty good pick. They got a pretty good player. But that doesn't mean they made the right pick. I mean, they could have had a guy who now is legitimately considered certainly a top three center in the whole league. So give them credit. You talk about Bob building around Ben. They are doing it the right way in Kansas City. Nobody could ever argue that they haven't given Patrick Mahomes everything he needs. And the minute they spotted problems, and they still got to the Super Bowl, by the way, the minute they spotted problems in front of him, they didn't do a minor rebuild on their line. They changed every position.
No, I know that. But I think their problems were fewer than what the Steelers have. They didn't have to address all the things the Steelers had to address. The Steelers tried to address it by not getting upper end guys, a third and fourth round pick starting on your offensive line. Good luck to them. That's a hard thing for anybody, even a first round guy. Yeah. Creed Humphrey would be an exception because he's really good. What I'm saying is they could have done a different way, a different approach and started. They could have. This is why we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. Offensive line first, second round, instead of what they did. They chose to go in another direction, but they didn't fill in the voids there. And as a result, they paid the price for this specific season, Ron. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I think Freiermuth's going to be a great player too, but again, was he more of a luxury at that pick than the offensive line as it turned out? I argued that at the time and I would still argue it now. I would rather have that center, Joe, in hindsight, because I think we saw center was their biggest weakness maybe on the line all year. Would that have helped them be better? I like to think so.
Greg, go ahead. You there, Greg?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Here's the problem I have with this team. Who is running the team? Who's running the team? Who's making these decisions? I have no clue, because whoever's making these decisions should be gone.
Which one? Give us an example. Which decision?
Not drafting that center this year and letting Kansas City get the center, playing Ben for 2 years when we knew he was done. I mean, just a lot of bad moves. And I'll tell you what, they need somebody to run this organization. Rooney has to really look deep and say, I need somebody to run this organization and change the direction of what's going on right now.
Ron?
Well, I mean, I think, it's a combined effort between Colbert and Tomlin. I'm not going to pin everything on Colbert, because I think Tomlin has a big say in the personnel, and I'm not going to say it's all Tomlin either. I don't know how you change. We're going to get a new GM, it looks like. Maybe that'll be the answer, or maybe more. It'll be more Tomlin will have more control. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think there's enough blame to go around, and they haven't missed on everybody. They've had some good draft picks over the years, and even recently they've had some good draft picks. But, I mean, I get the frustration when you fall short, Joe.
I mean, but what team has a coach for 16, 17 years? I mean, this is ridiculous. Even Tomlin, I think his whole thing's gone stale. I think we need a new head coach. I think we need a new GM. I think we need a change. This is ridiculous what's going on.
Well, you can wish for a new coach all you want. That isn't going to happen now. Maybe after next year if they have another disappointing year. Although, you know, now it looks like total rebuild mojo. I could see, you know, that Tomlin getting a couple more years even if they don't do well.
Here's the thing, and we appreciate the call. I'm not sure that Art Rooney looks at this as a disappointing year, Ron. I'm not sure that he does. They made the playoffs. They had a wonderful send-off for Ben. At the end of the year, they won a couple games. Nobody expected them to get there. I'm not sure that Art Rooney looks at this as a major disappointing season. He may even look at this as triumphant. And I'm sure he looks at next season as, well, you know what? This is a transition time. We're changing quarterbacks, might be changing GMs. The built-in excuse is already ready for next season, Ron. I don't know if Art looks at this and says, man, this season stunk.
Yeah, maybe not stunk. I don't know that he looks at it as a triumphant season. But your point is well taken. I mean, again, if going back to expectations, I predicted 8-9 before the start of the season and missing the playoffs. They made the playoffs. So it's not a total failure when you make the playoffs when you're one of the last 14 out of 32 standing. But I'm hopeful he's not thinking this is a triumphant season because it wasn't, Bob, by any stretch.
No. You know, I think they put a lot of emphasis on getting to the playoffs. And generally speaking, that's a good way to start. If you can get there, you know, you have a chance at least. But, you know, given their roster, given what they've produced or lack of production, you'd have to say there are so many things that need to be addressed. And to me, those changes will come. It's not going to be with Mike Tomlin, but I got to believe there are going to be major changes to his staff.
Me too.
And then you just go by what they do and how they address their offseason and needs. And there's so many that you can make a case for any direction you want to go, Joe. And I'm not sure, you know, how they view not having a franchise quarterback, so to speak. And do you sell yourself out to do that? And if you miss, how much are you giving up, you know, it'll make it more difficult. You know what I mean?
So yeah, if I wake up in the morning and I'm Art Rooney or Kevin Colbert, if he's still here, if I'm Mike Tomlin and I look around the AFC and I see my team with a legendary defensive player, I'm angry at
two
myself,
of them maybe.
Maybe two, for wasting these years with them. And I say, if we don't somehow combat the Joe Burrows and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jacksons and Josh Allen's of the world, and I know they beat the Bills in the opener and it was great, then where are we? What are we doing here? What's the point? And that gets back to, I think that they're in a spot, you could argue, the worst spot you can be in pro sports, yep, which is right in the middle, hovering around 500, giving just enough belief for people, maybe even the team owner, doing just enough for Art Rooney to say, this isn't that bad. Could be worse. We could be the Lions. To me, that rationale just doesn't fit for this franchise.
No, I mean, it doesn't. They got to find a quarterback. And Joe, your column again was excellent today. You got to find a quarterback to give yourself a chance. But by the same token, the quarterback has to have some help around him too. That's why I'm not in favor of giving up number one picks for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at what New England did, they kind of waited around, and they got Mac Jones, and he had a really good season, but you could tell that he needs a lot of help, too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch. Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.